Welcome to Home Group. My name is Rick Renner, and I'm so glad that you've joined me and us. And the us is Maxim Yasnikov and Denise. Guys, welcome to Home Group.
Thank you, Rick.
Today, we're going to be talking about Denise's book called Jesus is Your Healer. And the subtitle says, The Power of His Sacrifice, Both to Save and to Heal. And we were talking before the program that in the Greek language, the word salvation is the word sozo. I'm sure you've heard that word. But you know that word sozo can also be translated to heal. It can be translated to save or to heal. And that's because salvation and healing is one package. And in the Jewish mind, they really understood that. Jesus didn't come just to take care of one part of us. He came to take care of all of us. He came to save and he came to heal. And by the way, it also means to deliver. My friends, Jesus came to do so much. Don't relegate everything he did just to salvation and eternity. He wants to make a difference in your life right now. But this is going to be good. And Denise today is going to lead Home Group. So Denise, let's get started.
Well, thank you, Rick. So as Rick said, we've been talking about Jesus not only being our Savior, but being our healer. And I remember when I was studying this and that revelation came across my heart that Jesus saved me. I'm going to heaven. I mean, this is a very important thing that I have placed all my trust in, is in Jesus, and that I'm going to heaven and not to hell. And I started thinking, I'm trusting him that I can spend eternity in heaven, and I'm not going to take his benefit for me right now of healing for my body. And I saw that we've got to acknowledge him. You know, in this world, and I was thinking about that this morning, in this world, the world we live in, our society, the way we're even trained to think is if something happens to us physically, we immediately think of the world answering our problem. We think of the doctors. Now people go on the internet and they search out the disease and they find out what they're supposed to do. Or is this the disease I have?
And you're not saying there's anything wrong with that.
No, I'm not saying anything's wrong with that, but I'm saying that is the system of the world. But Jesus already paid for it.
He did.
And it honestly is a process of renewing our mind to this truth. And I do not have this down at all. I am not perfected in this. Even last week, I was sick. I lost my voice. My throat was red. I was in pain. But the whole time I was thinking, Jesus, you're as much my Savior as you are my healer. And I am taking this healing, Lord, from you. And so I was making my way. And now, as you can see, I have a voice. I'm speaking to you right now. I'm really grateful. But the truth of what Jesus did, we can't let what Jesus did for us just go in vain. We can't let the blood that poured off of his body and spilled onto the ground just be in vain. There was in that drop of blood was your healing for cancer. And that drop of blood was healing for a headache, for the flu, for laryngitis, for lung problems. And we've got to see that this is the truth. And the Bible absolutely over and over and over again tells us without any doubt that Jesus is as much our healer as he is our Savior. And when Jesus was on the earth, which he was the expressed image of God, that's what Hebrews chapter 1 says. He was the expressed image. He was doing the will of God. Jesus did three things. He did miracles, he healed, he taught, and he prophesied. That was his ministry. He's still doing the same thing today. He's still healing. He's still doing miracles. The Word of God is still preaching and changing people's lives. And His ministry has not changed. He's the same yesterday as He is forever and today. And so I want us to look at this scripture in Matthew chapter 15. And this, I love this story because...
Which verse?
It starts in verse 22. And this is an amazing story of a woman who would not give up. And it says, "And behold, a woman of Canaan came from the region and cried out to him, saying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed.'"
Can I say something? The word mercy here is really important because in Greek it is the word eleos. It doesn't mean, "Lord, just feel something toward me or feel sorry for me." But the word mercy describes a compassion that is compelled to act. She wasn't just saying, "Lord, please have pity on me." She was saying, "Take action."
Mm-hmm.
Mercy always takes action. And this is one way you can find out if you're being merciful. Being merciful is not just wringing your hands and saying, "That's just so pitiful." Real mercy says, "You know what? This is so pitiful. I've got to do something to change it. I can't let that person stay in their current state. I've got to do something to change their condition." And so when she said, "Lord, have mercy on me," she was really saying, "Lord, I'm asking you to do something to change my status. Take action. Act for me right now." All right.
And you know what else, Rick? This woman, she knows who she is.
She's a Canaanite, and that's why it says, "Behold." The Greek means, "Wow, can you imagine even a Canaanite woman? Ay, ay, ay." I mean, this was bad. Okay.
I mean, she knows she has no right to even come and talk to Jesus. So she is stepping out of her element. And I think many times, people who step out and take their healing, they have to be aggressive. They have to say, "I don't care what you think. I don't care what they think. I don't care about my past. I don't care. Jesus, have mercy on me. I'm after what you have, God, for me." And I see that as her attitude. But he answered her not a word. I mean, this is not a good day for her because she could have just walked away at that point. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries out after us." Here's more rejection. Jesus ignores her, and now his best friends, they are crying out to send her away.
And when the Bible says she cried out, the tense means she was crying. And you know, she didn't just give up because she didn't get a response. She was yelling and screaming and yelling and screaming. She was persistently crying out, "I'm not leaving until you pay attention to me." Okay?
Oh, don't you love that persistence?
It's persistence.
It takes persistence so many times, Rick, if we really want to receive from God.
Okay.
But he answered and said, now he speaks, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And you would think, okay, it's going to get better. No, now it's getting worse. Now he's given a theological reason why she's not going to get healed. First, she's just ignored. Second, she's rejected by the disciples, and they tell her to shut up and go away. Now, Jesus intellectually, rationally says, "No, I was not sent to you." And this woman, then she came and she worshiped him, saying, "Lord, help me." You know, I don't know. We don't know what this looked like. What did her worship look like? I mean, did she just fall to the ground before him and on her knees and say, "Lord, you're the only way. Lord, you are the son of David. Lord, you're the one who can do something for me. Lord, I worship you. Lord, you're everything. Lord, you've got to do this for me." We don't know what her worship looked like, but she acknowledged who he was.
And I want to ask Maxime a question. Do you have your Greek opened right
there? Yes, sir.
What is the word help in verse 25?
Give me a second. Just give me a second. So you can,
go ahead, Denise.
Verse 25. Mm-hmm.
Do you find it?
Boethia.
Okay, swing into action. She's really saying, swing into action on my behalf, Boethia. Okay.
Well, in her worship, and I want to talk about worship because many times when sickness comes, it seems like we go through stages of, okay, I'm going to do the best I can. I'm going to take this medicine. I'm going to do this. And a lot of people come into these places where they've been to the doctor, they've taken the medicine, and the disease is still there. And things start happening in your mind, like, well, maybe God wants to teach something to me through this. Or maybe, maybe I'm just not supposed to be healed. Or maybe this is supposed to go on longer. I mean, we start trying to think of things in our mind to excuse our situation. But when you come to those places where you say, Lord, I only know two things. I know that you love me. I know you died for me. And I know in that you healed me. And I'm in this condition, but I am worshiping you. I'm acknowledging you, that you are my Lord. And in that worship, something happens inside of us. Something happens when we really worship God. I'm not talking about when we give him, you know, some rhetoric that does not even come from our heart. It comes from our mind. But that place in your heart that says, I can't do this without you, God. I acknowledge you, God.
Can I say something else? That word help that Maxime just read, the word boethia, also carries the idea of defense, defend me. Well, remember what her problem was. She had a little child, a daughter that was grievously vexed with a demon. Her home was under assault. And when she said, Lord, help me, she knew her home was under assault. And she was saying, Lord, please swing into action, defend me. You've got to help me defend my home. And maybe you have somebody in your home and you just feel like they're going the wrong way and they're making bad decisions and it's affected your whole life, your whole family, your whole house. You can pray the same thing. Lord, please, I need you to swing into action. I need you to stand between me and this thing that's happening to us and stop it. Defend us. That's really what she was praying.
Okay. Well, and Rick, you know, after she worshiped him, she prayed a really simple prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Three words, Lord, help me.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't religious. It wasn't long. It was just clear and short. Lord, help me. And I found, I'm sure you found, Maxime, in your life, that when you come to that place and you just don't know what to do, and then finally you recognize, okay, God, you're my answer. I worship you, God. Lord, help me.
Mm-hmm.
And at that moment, heaven opens. Heaven opens. And look what happened next. It sounds like that Jesus is, I think he's setting her up, but let's go there. But he answered her and said,
verse 26.
It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. Well, this is the first time in scripture that healing has ever been called the children's bread, the Israelites' bread, that healing is the bread for the children of God. And, but she knows something. She knows that when people eat bread around the table, that the crumbs fall on the floor. She's seen it many times. And the little dogs come up and they get the crumbs. Well, the crumbs are part of the bread. I think Jesus is setting her up. And she said, "Yes, Lord. Yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." I mean, she is after her miracle. Then Jesus answered and said to her, he's just so touched by her faith. She just is relentless. She will not give up. She wouldn't give up when Jesus didn't answer her. She wouldn't give up when the disciples rejected her. She wouldn't give up when Jesus said, "I wasn't sent to you." She would not give up and only worshiped him.
Can I say something else? The word dogs that's used here refers to mangy dogs. Well, she was a Canaanite.
That's so good.
She was not of Israel. And in the view of the children of Israel, she was just a mangy dog. She doesn't really argue with their opinion about her. You know, sometimes arguing with people's opinions about you, it doesn't change anything, and it's an argument you're not going to win. So she literally says in verse 27, "Lord, it's true, but even the mangy dogs eat from the crumbs which fall from their master's table." And she was acknowledging, okay, I may not be of the children of Israel, but hey, even dogs, low-level dogs, even they get the crumbs. And she was saying, even if I may not have a legal right, I'm asking anyhow. I'm coming for the crumbs. Okay?
And you know, she knew that in the bread, the crumbs were as powerful as the bread. And she was just going to take even a crumb because she knew that the crumb was enough to deliver her daughter. Oh, I love it. And then Jesus said, answered her, "Oh, woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Jesus said, "Let it be just like you want it. Let your daughter just be, she's delivered of demons right now. Let it be like you want it." Mm. And she got home, and her demon-possessed daughter, which the Bible says she was severely demon-possessed, and that's the only place in Scripture I ever saw severely demon-possessed. And so I thought about all the manifestations of demon possession. So we have people cutting themselves. We have people foaming at the mouth, throwing themselves in the water, in the fire, screaming. Maybe her daughter was doing all these things. We don't know. But it was horrible. And she left that horrible place in her house, went to Jesus, and came home in absolute peace.
Now, what does this mean for our home group?
This means that Jesus is as much your Savior as he is your healer, as much your healer as he is your Savior. And that you right now, his presence is there right now to take a hold of that healing power for either yourself or for somebody in your home. Like Rick said, maybe you're there as an intercessor, like she was, crying out for your loved one or your friend. Jesus, that faith in your heart, just like it was for that woman, it was her faith that delivered her daughter.
Amen.
And it's your faith.
Would you pray for our home group?
Yes. Father, right now, we acknowledge your presence. We acknowledge your power. We acknowledge your ability to stretch forth your hand and to touch whoever is listening right now, to touch their body. I thank you, Lord. You're touching somebody's heart condition right now. Mm-hmm. In the name of Jesus, I see you reaching out and claiming that healing. Lord, I'm speaking to that irregular heartbeat in the name of Jesus. And we speak healing right now. Release it to your body in the powerful name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, this has really been good. When we come back, I want to continue talking about this subject, Denise. This is so good. And if you don't have a copy of Denise's book called Jesus is Your Healer, please go online at renner.org to order your copy today. We're so glad you've been with us. And Denise, this has really been good. Hasn't this been good,
Miss? Wonderful. Thank you so much.
But we'll see you in the next home group.
Please like, subscribe, and share this video with your friends so more people can see it.